you like being in our 50s, podcast age?
Well, you know, we've gotten to try this several different ways. Today we're doing this on the MP3 player.
Yeah, due to some kind of technical...
We're having technical difficulties with our big fancy equipment.
Imagine that. You know, one of the things I like about getting into the digital realm, more and more people are relying on it, is people seem to be more understanding of the fact that there are computer problems. As opposed to maybe a decade ago when you had issues related to servers and that kind of thing, and people weren't as reliant on them. It was a bigger deal, but now it's kind of like, oh, okay, a server's down, or you know, you're having to reboot your computer, or something's not going right. And so for us, it's somewhere between a microphone and audio software.
Right? Yeah.
Now, I did see an article about some new stuff out there, some audio software out in the cloud that I read on Flipboard, which I shared at the breakfast the other day. That was my show and tell.
That was a lot of fun. I really liked the show and tell format.
Mm-hmm. Me too. We should do that more often, not just once
maybe,
a year.
Maybe twice a year.
Yeah.
Via
yeah.
So, June okay. and December.
The mid-year. Oh, June.
Or July, like Christmas in July. And then
we hate to break the tradition where July has been... we don't meet on July.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because it's my birthday.
That's right. It's your birthday, of course.
Yeah.
You and George and Cohan.
Hate to make you wake up early on your birthday.
I just don't do it.
Okay. Yeah, so... Well, that's a good idea. And that's kind of like what the most recent Twilight Cam was like, where we did a lot of people sharing a lot of different tools that they use.
My show and tell as a child was always Teddy Ruxpin. Always.
Teddy Ruxpin?
Yeah. K-4 through second grade or whatever that stuff
is. Is that a stuffed animal?
Y'all don't remember Teddy Ruxpin?
I have no idea.
Teddy Ruxpin probably did not have a built-in webcam.
No, but he had a built-in tape player.
Oh, he did? Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Fancy.
It was fancy. He'd tell you stories. Anyway, okay. Show and tell. It's good.
Yeah, so, you know, now they have these cyber dolls that are out for Christmas. Again, you know, we saw them last year, and, you know, they're new and improved, no doubt, this year, with little MP3 webcam, MP3 recorders, webcams built into them. Little different things that people, I've seen people take these notions and just go really off the deep end with them as far as, you know, oh, it's a spy cam and you're spying on your kids or whatever.
It's just a little creepy.
Yeah.
Kids are getting online and, you know, they know how to, they're learning how to type. They're shooting stills, shooting videos and putting photo albums together. And they're little producers.
You know, it's funny you say that. I was trying to get Beth Sanders, this is for you if you're listening. I was trying to get to her website the other day. Mm-hmm. And I think I may have typed in like bethsanders.com.
Yeah, it won't do it.
No, but it will take you to a 6-year-old girl in the UK who has her own website.
Okay, good. That's better than the WhiteHouse.com thing, where it takes you to a porn site.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
It used to. I don't know about it anymore, but that used to be the big thing about, you know, .com versus .gov. Somebody registered that domain name and had a lot of fun with it. So
they're trying to make some money.
So at least Beth Sanders didn't get you some seedy place.
It's true. It's true. But yeah. So children do have internet presences, which is just strange.
Yeah. It's just a whole new world. See, and then you're old. Ha ha. Welcome to the club.
How? Because I made a Teddy Ruxpin. I'm just
no, to those little kids that are growing up with this stuff
this
right now.
Oh, this is true.
Okay. So I think since we last podcasted, the Galaxy Tab has come out.
Yes.
And I've not seen it, but I know you have.
I saw one at Office Depot, and I went, oh, Android Tab. And I went over, and I picked it up. And
you put it down.
And I swiped my finger across the screen and maybe held it for 10 or 20 seconds before I decided that I hated the interface and put it down.
Hmm. Now, is this an Android-like interface?
It was wonky. Hmm. It was, like, different home screens, but the home screens... Maybe it was just the way they had it set up at Office Depot. The different home screens had... I just didn't like it. I didn't like the way it handled. I didn't like... The button layout was weird. I just didn't like it.
To notify our listening audience, Ansley Phones does has unique tastes, and her preferences may not apply to you.
This is true.
It's very true.
I'm very particular about my devices. So.
But it's funny because you use an Android phone.
Mm-hmm.
You're a precious little weird bird.
Have you seen she's got snowflakes going on in her phone?
It's
snowing.
It's really great.
Ansley's phone.
I have a live wallpaper on my phone, and it's snowflakes. And they it just snows on my phone. And then when you swipe it, the snowflakes go that way. And then I can swipe it this way, and the snowflakes will go that way.
Wow.
I know. It's awesome.
Speaking of snowflakes, there is now an Angry Birds Christmas edition, just in case you're addicted.
So tell us a little bit about Angry Birds and this whole cyber phenomena.
You know, I've been meaning to. I found this article on Mashable the other day. I accidentally got hooked on Angry Birds, as in, you know, someone was playing it. I'm like, oh, let me just see what's going on there, because I keep hearing people talk about it. It'll suck you right in. And then, about 2 weeks after that, there was an article on Mashable, and it was a study of some correlation between adults and stress and the relief thereof by playing Angry Birds. So, I don't know if that's why I like it so much. I shouldn't.
It's healthy.
Was it good?
Let's say so.
Did you feel less stressed after
I mean,
it?
It makes my brain shut off, and I'm only focused on throwing tiny baby birds at pigs. And if that's all I have to think about, that's all I want to think
time.
About. Yeah.
So, is it kind of like a little arcade kind of a
Yeah, game, you're or? Just, you've got a slingshot, and you're pulling a baby bird back. It's so morbid on some level, but you're pulling a baby bird back and you're flinging it at these pigs and you're trying to kill them.
And the pigs are sometimes encased in blocks or built around
or ice blocks for the Christmas.
And
edition.
Then they explode.
Yes.
The pigs explode?
Like there's
or the birds.
And let me tell you that the worst part about it, and I did make this statement last night, and I said, this is not stress relief because I am pissed right now. Because if you don't kill those pigs, they smile at you. Like
It's so small. I'm not sure I can see that on my phone.
No, you can.
Wow.
You can. So that's Angry Birds.
I had no idea that's what it was all about.
Yep.
Oh, I see.
It is. And so there's a Christmas edition, and it has this little like jingle going on in the background and some snowflakes. And, you know, it's cute. That's all there is to it. It's just a cute little thing. But all I can say is don't pick it up and try it because when my air was out, you guys remember that? When my air was out and I couldn't sleep because it was so hot,
yeah.
I was playing that game for probably 6 hours a night, and I probably should not say that out loud, but it's true.
No, it can happen, and those game folks, they know it's addictive.
Yeah.
There's an addiction that happens, and it can get you in trouble. I almost repeated a semester of college for that stupid little Super Mario handheld thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I just couldn't put it. I was like, one more time. I'm, you know.
When I was in grad school, I had a Wii, and I had to sell it.
But I wasn't throwing.
You weren't throwing
birds
at pigs.
Exploding pigs.
Well, hey, don't be hating.
You know, I remember this game called Wolfenstein. You remember that? It was a desktop game. It was, you know, kind of a German, you know, camp or a fort or something like that. And it was being infiltrated. And you would shoot guys and stuff like that. There was no problem. But then every now and then these German shepherds would come at you and you had to shoot those. And it was like, I just hated it.
That's terrible.
It was terrible.
But they looked lifelike. These pigs are green, you know.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm sure there's now. It just blows my way. Yeah, this was back in old, really, you know, simplified vector days. So, you know, when I go into the store now and I see these people playing games, at first from down the hall.
It looks so real.
It does. Like football. It's like, oh, this guy's watching football. And I get close. It's like, oh, it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
It is.
You know,
it is.
There is some other something or another that you're dying to share with us.
Well, the news in the mobile wireless space, there's two parts to it. It's the FCC's, on the 21st, they're doing a vote on making like actual legislation for net neutrality. And so, yay, that's good. And the Open Internet Coalition is all for it. And the chairman of the FCC, Julius Genachowski, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, has proposed these, and so that's great. And then the other part to this is public Wi-Fi that's, you know, we've heard something about using different frequencies to send out public Wi-Fi, and this could actually happen. And something that's really cool is there's this new Ruckus Wi-Fi smart antenna that will hopefully be used to do this that has a better range because it actually detects devices that are receiving the signal. Because so usually with a Wi-Fi emitting device, you just have one antenna that's sending out a signal in a circle. But this one actually has many antennas that will detect a signal and hone in on where it is. And then so it detects where you are and actually sends the signal directly to you. So it's much more reliable. It has a better range and it has a better adaptability to be able to bend around objects and go through walls. So,
interesting.
It is.
So I'm very excited about that. They're already all over Hong Kong, and the article I was reading went on to talk about what we've talked about many times before, how you know, with technology, wouldn't it be more convenient to live in a developing country instead of a developed country where we've already adapted, or we've already adopted these technologies, but we've adopted them into our old technology systems, and therefore they're not as advanced as some places like in South America and Hong Kong, where they've waited, they're later adopters. And so they have been able to jump on the bandwagon with the updated technology instead of...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I want to do that with the next planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like going to go, they're going to have all new stuff, and it'll be outdated eventually, but yeah, that is interesting. And one of the things that I like to hear about this is that Wi-Fi signal is just not being blasted everywhere, so it's it's nice. I'm sure it's more energy efficient, but then you're not radiating things like what we've been kind of hearing rumor about and different takes on. The jury's still out on this whole issue with Wi-Fi affecting trees right now, but there are a lot of people looking at that, trying to figure out, okay, is Wi-Fi really affecting the trees or not? And so...
I did read about that.
We'll hear more about that as they find out. And no doubt other things that we're cooking with our radiation, you know, with this electromagnetic radiation, you know. So it's nice to see this kind of thing being more directed at the devices that are actually needing it instead of just blasting it everywhere. So, hey, Rachel, what's going on in the whole location-based service arena?
Location-based services. The update is that Gowalla issued their 3.0 update yesterday.
Well, to iPhone people.
I'm sorry, guys. I have been checking in. Actually, I did use it one time yesterday, and then whenever I went somewhere else and I had the intention of checking in there, my brain is so adapted to Foursquare that it literally took, you know, like, I'm just psychologically already tuned into Foursquare, so I'm not thinking to check in on Gowalla, so that's why... So that's a little bit of a problem. But anyway, so Gowalla's update, is that it is built on top of Foursquare and Facebook's API, which means that they're pulling in all of their data, and you can check into both of those places and on Gowalla's places all at the same time, or on one or the other, or, you know, whatever you may choose. So I think it's a smart move for Gowalla, and that Foursquare is a little pissed. Maybe Facebook places too, but, you know, that's their data, and they want it.
Well, Gowalla was on stage there with Zuckerberg. They're one of their little partnering companies that they brought up there when they were releasing their Facebook places. So they brought, you know, somebody from Foursquare up to talk about it, somebody from Yelp, and somebody from Gowalla. So I guess it's kind of a co-opetition kind of thing going on, no doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, there's not going to be one killer, you know. There's so many people that like Gowalla. Because it's got a wonderful interface that's great for people, and then other people that gravitate towards a Foursquare interface.
You know, I was actually thinking about this in a different world since the other day when I was eating some Lay's potato chips, but out of the Pringles shaped can. So Lay's has now built that vertical can like Pringles used to have, you know. And so I was thinking about it in this sense. I'm like, well, you know, Pringles probably did not get angry at Lay's for building a can like that, because that's sort of their marketing idea. And I guess it's the same thing, you know. It's this chip and this can, and it's this data with this interface. So it's all personal choice.
Yeah. And we're wonderfully diverse.
Yeah.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, very, very much.
Speaking of which,
Gary
we've
Coleman?
Got...
No,
what? Speaking of which, we've got Dominique Pryor Anderson, who came and talked to us about what appeals to the Hispanic market.
Ah, yes.
So I thought that was a good
nice
transition
segue,
there.
Ansley.
Yeah. Thanks, all right. God. Well, let's cut to that interview.
And it's a great pleasure today to welcome Dominique Pryor Anderson, who is a publicity and communications consultant and a longtime Facebook friend.
Right.
Welcome to the expedition.
Well, thank you.
Glad to have you out here. It seems like we only have time to talk when we're like running through social camp or bar camp.
Right.
And so I've enjoyed having a few minutes to kind of catch up and figure out where things are here. And most recently, you'd put together a presentation for bar camp for what was the title?
Reaching the Hispanic community through social media.
So I was looking forward to that.
Yeah, so.
But and that bar camp style, and I thought there would be more people that were interested in it.
Right.
But so I'm glad that you got that put that together, and I'm glad that you're here today and maybe to share some of that with us, because I think that's something that we're going to be paying more attention to here in Memphis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Need to. Right.
So why the distinction?
Because the Hispanic community, there are 23 million Hispanics on social media, using social media right now.
Mm-hmm.
And those same 23 million Hispanics are part of $1 trillion of spending power, with a T, not a B.
Uh-huh.
And so there are things that are culturally different and special and significant to the Hispanic community that is different than any other community. Each community has their own segment. And so being able to speak to that community especially clearly is
mm-hmm.
important.
Mm-hmm.
And social media is even bigger with the Hispanic community because of the openness and the sense of community.
So, I mean, we're obviously not talking about, oh, just go to take this copy paste and go to Google and translate it and then paste it back
right,
into your
no.
thing. So,
no.
so I mean, there's more to it than just a language.
There. Right, right. And a lot of people say they translate, and what they really should do is trans-create. So you need to take the message. You have a message and an idea, but you don't translate it word for word. You take it culturally and make it significant and fit the culture and the things that are important to that culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then you create that message.
Okay. You know, so you say you're calling that trans-create.
Trans-create. Right.
Is that a word unique to you, or is that?
Oh no.
Okay.
I would love to have made that up and trademarked it and copyrighted it, but I copyrighted it, but I didn't. No, I felt like I made it up at one point. Then I saw it everywhere when I Googled it. That's okay.
It happens.
All the genius. We all think the same, apparently. No, that's not special to me.
Okay. So on the Spanish side of things, you know, you go to Google and it is Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
That you can translate.
Right.
But isn't the Spanish that they speak in Mexico different than the Spanish they speak in Puerto Rico? Or?
Yeah, there are regionalisms to all language, just like there are words that are specific to the South as opposed to the North in the United States.
You're kidding.
Oh, I know. Right? So, Memphis, my goodness, I think that's a whole world to itself. There are definitely regionalisms, but the base language... You speak the base language, it's mm-hmm. pretty much the same. You can get into some interesting things, like let's say Indian languages in Honduras. They may not speak any Spanish at all.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you do have those things, but generally if you speak Spanish, you speak Spanish, and you can get an idea.
You know, a lot of people don't understand that, okay, the Indians that you're talking about there,
right.
those are the indigenous people.
Exactly.
You know, just like if you were to say, oh, you speak Cherokee
right.
here in the U.S.
Right.
The same kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So the language thing, it's like, okay, we don't have to make multiple versions because we're talking to some folks from Mexico versus Puerto Rico. It's not just the translation, it's this trans-creation.
Right.
And so what's the story behind that? What are some of the unique things that you would need to approach a Hispanic market differently than
African-American market or the mainstream, as they call it, market? The value systems, and even within the Hispanic community, the value systems may differ from Puerto Rico to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that are important and the level of family or nationalism is different. So you have to know exactly what market you're speaking to when you're doing whatever the project is. For here, for example, in the Southeast, there's almost no one who does just Hispanic PR or marketing for the Southeast
mm-hmm.
or Hispanic communications, because that is a different community from the Caribbean community that may be in Florida or in New York. It's different. They're more socialized here to the American customs, acculturated. They're more acculturated to what's going on here from the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to someone who is southeast of Mexico. Their value systems and the things that they hold on to are a little different. So you have to be able to speak that language.
What are a couple of like key differences that come to mind?
If you are running taxes, let's talk taxes.
Okay.
If you have a tax company and you want to do a tax company in Houston, you're going to have more Mexican, native Mexican people in Houston. That's the population. But if you want to take that same tax company and run it in Boston, for example, you're going to have a a large Caribbean base. Mm-hmm. The Caribbean base that you have in Boston may have more American notions. They may prefer to speak more English than Spanish. They may prefer to read more English than Spanish. That community in Houston may have closer ties to Mexico, so they may prefer to read, write, and speak more in Spanish than in English.
Okay.
So you have to know, okay, do I need to do a bilingual piece, an all-Spanish piece? Do I need to do an English radio and a Spanish radio? Each of those things is different depending on your community.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. All right. So what about gender? And just comparing, would you call it the mainstream market,
right,
you know, versus the Hispanic market,
right,
here in Memphis?
Mm-hmm.
You were saying earlier that the local Hispanic market is principally divided into
your top three.
Yeah, sure.
Mexican, Honduran, and El Salvador. Guatemala, I'm sorry. Guatemala, the top three, and then El Salvador would be fourth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then because we have a large population that is primarily closely removed from their country, they're pretty new here, and we'll say in the last 5 years. In the Southeast, and especially Memphis, they still prefer more customs closer to their country.
Mm-hmm.
So radio, social media, things like that are going to be more important to them. That's where they're going to gather information.
And you're talking about, like, values.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are some values that maybe people aren't aware of, you know, or
right,
some key differences there?
The family. Family mm-hmm. is a much bigger issue. For women, for example, the husbands make the decisions in the family. In some families, even little things like dinner, the women may cook all the food. The men will come to the table. They may eat, and the women may never sit down with them because
mm-hmm.
they're serving them. When the men finish, they may sit down and eat with them. They're also accustomed to having the wives then have a shift. Now they have a shift because their husbands, there's not a lot of jobs in Memphis. So these women are now the primary caregivers in the home.
Mm-hmm.
As they always have been, but their responsibilities and their roles are more. So now there's a shift in responsibility in the house because the husbands are working far away. They're yeah. working out of town. They may be working in Alabama
mm-hmm.
and come home once a month. So things have shifted now. But family is very important. The way that they spend money is very important, the way they raise their children. But family, that's the number one key.
Hmm. And when you're talking about, like, the way that they spend their money,
mm-hmm.
Can you shine some light on that, please?
Cash, credit's wasn't as big a deal. Now that people don't have as much money because jobs are so scarce for, let's just say, undocumented Latinos or Hispanics in the city,
mm-hmm.
cash was the primary fund source. They spent cash, they saved cash, they didn't put it in banks. Because there wasn't a sense of, we're going to be here forever.
Right.
They have maybe 10 years. They want to come, work some money home, and then go back. So
mm-hmm.
they spend their money wisely, safely, and they kept it at home. They didn't put it in banks.
Hmm.
That's very different from how Americans are taught to deal with money.
Yeah.
And they didn't rely on credit. Now, because they don't have money, and they're able to get credit cards,
mm.
you're now seeing a shift in debt. Within the Hispanic community, right.
Welcome to America.
Right. Yeah, debt and check cashing and all the things that we're now getting smart about in America, they're getting pushed on them.
We get you hooked, senor.
That's right. That's it.
Vámonos.
Mm. Yeah, that's it, pretty much.
So what about the social networks?
Mm-hmm. The top, oddly enough, MySpace is still a really big social network
yeah.
among the Hispanic community. The mainstream networks, Facebook is next. Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter is really coming up fast among the Hispanic population, especially in Mexico, Central America. Pretty
oh.
big.
Hmm.
Then there are their own sub-networks. ¿Qué pasa? Mi gente. There are other Spanish community social media networks.
Yeah. And these are standalone social networks just like MySpace
just like
and
MySpace.
FaceSpace,
yeah.
Facebook.
FaceSpace, yeah. Some days it's all the same. Yeah, they're standalone. So, Mi Gente, Que Pasa, they're all their own network.
I was down on Summer Avenue, and I saw an internet cafe in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in there, and I wanted to talk to the guy to find out, well, hey, what's going on?
Right.
And we were talking about Facebook, and he's like, no, you know, that that's not real popular, but they have a lot of folks that come for them.
Right.
He was saying MySpace was.
That's it. Yeah. That's hot. It's the big deal. Music and the pictures and the whole thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a business, you don't want to, you may not, you want to reach the Hispanic market,
mm-hmm.
your first stop's not going to be Facebook.
No. I would definitely always send everybody to MySpace first.
Mm-hmm.
We as Americans don't think, MySpace is passe, but if you're hitting that Spanish community,
yeah,
that's your market.
That's great. And I know that a lot of these folks are keeping in touch with people back home.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. The water cooler phenomenon is a big deal. That the centro, the community, the middle area, maybe a fountain, it may just be like downtown, that's a big deal. So lunch is a big time. When you close down and you maybe have lunch for 2 or 3 hours, so you go, you meet the people, you hang out, you have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Now that people are not in their home and they're here, that's that sense of the water cooler phenomenon that they have. They can all meet up on MySpace and share pictures and get updates and everything.
Yeah.
So that replaces the water cooler.
Mm-hmm. Well, the wheels spin on that.
Right.
You know. So on the Twitter type thing, I'm kind of wondering if that's due to the mobile nature that you can engage with Twitter without having to have a smartphone.
Right. Exactly. The mobile apps they do so well in Spanish speaking countries. Very well.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the Spanish-speaking population, they are very much about technology and cell phones, because clearly your phone is your way.
Yeah.
And so things like Twitter are pretty great. I mean, you get real-time, right-then information.
Let's say we were maybe wanting to reach out to the Hispanic market from a realtor standpoint. And there's a realtor who is web savvy.
Mm-hmm.
What should they do? Should they even mess with doing it on their own, or should they come hire you?
They should hire me. It's never a question. Clearly, they should hire me. That's it. But if they want to do it on their own, mm-hmm. then they need to know, where they're really trying to reach their market. If they're a Memphis realtor,
mm-hmm.
They need to be realistic about the fact that the predominant portion of the population doesn't have the documentation they need to get a mortgage. Now, if they do rentals or leases or things like that, then that's great.
Okay.
That's their market.
Mm-hmm.
But straight mortgage, no. From a cash standpoint and, having money in the bank and those types of things, that they're great. It's golden. But as far as being able to qualify for a mortgage, not so much.
Gotcha.
So okay. If they want to deal with cash buyers, then they're great.
Okay. And how would they go about marketing to them?
They would do kind of what we do. Put the properties on. If you're starting a MySpace, you need to do your search for, Hispanic between this age and this area. So begin searching out the people who are going to buy your properties. And then they need to post pictures and information and contact, mm-hmm. and they need to be available. Availability is the number one killer of anybody trying to do business with the Hispanic community. I am on all day, every day, with our Spanish tax office, all day.
Hmm.
And I answer questions, and need to be a resource.
Okay. So, and what about, print? I mean, I noticed there's, I don't know how many, it seems like a lot of small Hispanic mm-hmm. print publications right here in Memphis.
About five, yeah, is about there? Five.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're good. They're good for the reader. They're good for, people will take those papers and they'll keep them. But on return, word of mouth is you're going to be your biggest investment. So that's why social media is your best investment.
Mm-hmm.
Because the paper, they're so costly because they're free. They're free, but they cost to add. The ads are so, high.
Yeah.
Now, once you get them in there, if you want to put that money in, they're fine because they'll take the paper, they'll read it, they'll keep it. It's a good return on investment, pretty good. But social media is your best.
Okay.
It really, and word of mouth is your best. Flyers.
And if they don't want to mess with all that, they look you up, right?
That's right.
How do we find you?
You can go to onevida.com, onevida.com. You can get on Facebook and look for Nikki Pryor Anderson. You mm-hmm. can look for Vida. You can go to Twitter and look for Vida.
Okay.
Or you can call me. Anyway.
Okay. Well, Dominique, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate the information, and I wish we had time for more. It's very interesting.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It was certainly great to be able to spend a little time talking with Dominique. Every other time, we're just zooming around, doing, you know, in between things, and didn't really have a chance to really catch up. So it was nice. It was nice to speak with her. Very interesting what's going on there.
So what upcoming events do we have?
Well, we have the Twilight Camp.
That's true.
It's on the 16th.
It's on the 16th at 5:30 here at Luna Web.
Yeah.
It's our holiday special, so there will be wine and pizza.
Actually, next Wednesday, we're going to be hosting the new meetup group put together by Rhonda Percival Valley.
Oh, that's next Wednesday. You know, the health, genetics.
The health.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was
I want
Ignite,
to go to that.
The Ignite speaker.
I need
yeah.
to go to that.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
So
she's going to be speaking on the importance of vitamin D, I believe she told me before Thanksgiving.
Okay. Great.
That's very apropos for winter.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, so hey, is there anybody else coming out with a tablet that we know of that's going to hit the market before Santa?
Not off the top of my head. You know, there's rumors of a Motorola tablet, and
you know what? Dell's evidently just launched their new thing the other day.
Is that right?
It's that like a convertible. It can be a notebook, and you can flip it around, and then it's a tablet.
Oh, really?
Gizmo thing. Yeah. Yeah, we should find it and provide a link to that. It's kind of interesting.
I did read about a PlayStation phone that's supposed to come out. So it's kind of like the droid that you had with the little keyboard that comes out, that kind of slides out from the bottom. Only when you slide out that bottom thing, it's like the game controllers. And so the touchscreen...
Like the PSP? Is that what it is? Where it's like the Game Boy
from
PlayStation, but a phone?
But it's a phone.
Wow.
And so you can play your games on it, and you slide out the thing, and you've got the little round thumb controllers like you do on the PlayStation Mobile, and then the front is a touchscreen.
Wow.
You know, I propose, you can trump this if you'd like, that our next podcast is just a Christmas wish list. What kind of gadgets you should buy.
I don't think this will be out by Christmas.
Man.
Oh, that thing you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, that. Oh, okay. I thought you
it's still it's
podcast.
Still in rumors.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I'm past Christmas and into January already, but that'd be a good one. What I was thinking about, as far as an idea goes, is on net neutrality. We really need to have a whole podcast, and it doesn't have to be before Christmas, but you know, something to talk about net neutrality, because I know there's a lot of gray areas. I often get it confused about as far as what it is, and it's an argument that seems like it's going to be around for quite a while. So I think it'd be good to good information to share with people.
That'll be good. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.